Thank you, Chris. A good tenor voice. I sing tenor too, but not with that kind of strength. It doesn't stand on its own, I see. Yes, it does. There you go. Believe in God. You believe in Christ. You believe in God. You believe in Christ. Glorify God with every breath. As an engineer, I can tell you that the density of this steel, I'll profit a little bit, is more than just normal steel. And the reason why those towers stayed up as long as they did, allowing as people to escape as long as they did, is because this steel held those towers up until it could do no longer in that intense heat. So that's interesting. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Richard Thayer, for the opportunity to speak in this church today. I'll say I'm semi-retired, okay? So I still volunteer for the IMB. We came home because of parent care primarily. And I apologize, June is not here today. A dear friend of mine is being baptized over at Carolina Memorial. And June is there for the baptism. But if I'm called to speak, I'm called. That's God's calling. I'm here. And his name is Shane. You may have remembered him from the Food Lion, if you ever went over there from years back. So he worked there for a number of years. So very pleased to see him being baptized today. And but again, I've always thanked God for the extraordinary privilege of serving him as your missionary and to be put in a place where I saw him work. And we saw over 12,000 professions and 7,000 baptisms among our partners over there while we were there. And the pace is increasing since we left the field. We may have been away from the field for full time for 5 years, but I have been back a couple of times and hope to get back there next year. Again, after this COVID thing is under control, we had to return because my mom was 96 and my dad was 96, and I wouldn't give up those 2 years I had with my mom or the 4 years I had with my dad. He passed away last December. But now I'm only 70, and I still volunteer at the IMB. I still do ministry. And you can too. So, to begin with, I want to ask you a question, which is related to my focus as the chair of the Missions Development Committee in our church. Are you a New Testament church? Well, there's a lot of books written about this kind of thing, and I'm not there to go over that. This is just my own definition of what a New Testament church is, so you can argue with me, that's fine, it's my opinion. But there are many terms for categorizing churches, so this is sort of some license I'm using to call a New Testament church, and you'll see it when we go over the scripture. Now, in India, we train our pastors first by memorizing a verse. And we're going to memorize a verse today. It's like Bible drill has started. Present Bibles. So if everyone will please stand up. I'm going to speak out a verse a couple of times. And then we're going to all repeat it together, phrase by phrase. We're going to learn this verse. And it's very familiar, so you probably don't need to learn it. Here it goes. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. Now I'm going to repeat it again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. Are we ready? I'll do it phrase by phrase. But you will be my witnesses. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, this is getting hard for me.
The Holy Spirit comes upon you.
In both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria. Even to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. Okay, thank you. It's harder when you're trying to teach it than it is just to repeat it. But I had to memorize it first, right? Thank you. So how is this verse relevant to being a New Testament church? Well, Jesus was talking to his disciples on the Mount of Olives just before his ascension. And we said this verse to them. Pentecost was still 10 days away before the Holy Spirit descended upon the church. So, to begin with, Jesus was not just talking to disciples. He was talking to you and me. Do you have the power of God? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Ephesians 1:13 says that everyone who receives the gospel of salvation is also sealed with the Holy Spirit. So if you are saved, you have the Holy Spirit and the power of God. If you've not received the gospel of salvation, then you must believe in Jesus Christ, who lived among people for 33 years and was tempted in every way, but did not sin, and he died for our sins according to Scriptures, was buried and raised again on the third day according to Scriptures, and he sits now on the right hand of God, the Father, waiting for that moment to come again. For everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and believes that he rose from the dead, he will not perish in hell, but be eternally changed, reborn above, from above, to everlasting life in a relationship with God. If you have made that confession earnestly, you're saved. The Bible says so. And you have the power of God through the Holy Spirit. You have the power of God. To do what? To be a witness for Christ. You have the power of God to witness for Christ. Believers, ask yourselves, why are we still here? Why am I still here at 70? To be witnesses for Christ. It's not an option. We have God's power in our witness for Christ. God chooses to use our voice box to witness as faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. God could do it all by his lonesome, but that would not be the action of a loving God. For unbelievers, God does not force a decision. That would be unloving also. We have the ability to make a moral choice to follow Christ or not. If we follow Christ, we're saved. For believers, God wants us to have the blessing of being the agency of his word to the lost. It's a blessing to share Christ. It's a blessing to see one come to faith. He gives that blessing to us if we use it. God does not need us. He could save by other means, but he is patient towards us, waiting, not desiring that anyone perish, but that all would come to repentance. as a believer, you are changed, right? If you're born again, you have the testimony of how God has changed your life. A powerful testimony. Or have you allowed Him to make the changes He wants to make you in the life? Maybe you don't have as many changes as you should. You see, you're born again if the sins in your life come into the conviction of the power of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have any conviction of sin, let's go over the gospel one more time. Maybe you didn't get it the first time. Maybe you missed it. But if you have conviction of sin, you have the testimony to save. Well, if you're saved by the gospel, then you know what to say about the gospel, right? You understand what it means to be saved, that Jesus Christ died for your sins and mine, and your belief in Him has saved you. The one universal condition common to all Christians of every denomination, and that even includes Catholics, is that if we are aware of our salvation, we have the inner conviction of the Holy Spirit that assures us. So you have the gospel message to witness. You have the power to witness for Jesus, your testimony, and the gospel. Yes, you do, but you have to use it. God can use the most measly of witness attempts. Sometimes it's as simple as a tract. Now, I'm a licensed amateur radio operator. I'm trying to keep my head sharp in my advanced age so that I can be useful in the ministry as well. Part of my purpose for the amateur radio is not just as a hobby, but another avenue to witness. And I've been going, whenever I could, I would go to what they call swap meets or ham fests. And now that COVID lockdowns, I hope, are passed, I can continue to do that. And I went to the one in Shelby. By the way, Shelby has the same kind of ministry that Lumberton does. And so, talking about North Carolina missions, there's more North Carolina missions opportunities there. There's North Carolina missions opportunities in Lumberton. We're trying to get up a team to go down there pretty soon. You're welcome to come with us. We cooperate as churches in the ministry. I'll get to that. Anyway, we had a couple of radios to sell, and I could have spent my time looking at my phone, like the other vendors did. People would just walk by and they would glance, kind of like this. I have some pretty attractive radios for sale, so they can't quite go by. So I saw many people looking, but they wouldn't say anything. I thought, I took a shower that day. I didn't have a disease, you know. But it's so easy to start a conversation. So I would just say something kind of funny, like, "You need another radio, don't you?" And they would say, "No, I don't need another divorce," or "I don't need a divorce." And that would open things up, because then I could start a conversation. And whatever it was about radios or anything else, you put in a little bit of scripture, like, "Do all things as if for the Lord." And then that leads into spiritual things. And you think in terms of, how can I turn this conversation into spiritual things? But we would never leave them empty-handed. We had a tract. Now, this comes from Living Waters. There are a number of good tracts from that organization. It's Ray Comfort, The Way of the Master, kind of witnessing, but the tracks are great. You can find him on the internet. He has a web page, and order these tracks. But this one was 101 one-liners, and they're all funny. Like, if at first you don't succeed, don't try skydiving. Or another one was, I have no trouble meeting expenses. They're all around me. So it's filled with 101 of these. So you could give that track to it, and it had a gospel presentation inside. And so I wasn't looking at my phone like the other vendors were. I was out there having conversations with people. And that's what we do. Because, you know, time is running out on the lost. It really is. And there's not much time left. We had great fun. It's easy to know what to say. Just start a conversation with some intentional idea to turn it into spiritual if possible. And so, whatever you do at work, at pastimes, things, think of the ways that not just with saved people, but with lost people as well. Make witnessing a part of your lifestyle. And there's never been a better time than today, coming out of this pandemic. And the world is seemingly collapsing, isn't it? That gives us an open field plowed for evangelism, to pour God's Spirit into a lost world with people hungry for answers. That just makes people more hungry for answers than we have them. My partner in India, Satish, he went through the lockdown there with his family, openly showing fearlessness. His Hindu landlord asked him why he was not afraid. And Satish told him that we Christians do not fear death. Boy, the Hindus do. They really fear death. And they have all these beliefs in reincarnation and all this kind of stuff. But it doesn't help them. Yet, for us, death is a celebration of glorification. And so he explained his faith. And when the landlord and the family came down with COVID, Satish was providing them food and going to the market for them. So this is an opportunity to witness. They did not become believers, but they heard. And that's our job, that they hear. Now pray for Raipur, where we were. Raipur. I'll just leave it at that. Persecution is on an uptick in India and in the state where I was in particular. There are organized, well-funded political organizations who agitate, sounds familiar, doesn't it? Demonstrate and attack churches. In one instance, a 78-year-old man died in a village. And they bury within 24 hours. But they don't have embalming or, you know, things like that, like we do over here. They don't have money for it. In fact, the Hindus expect to have they burn the body within 24 hours. And why don't the Christians do that too? Well, the Christians want to be different. They want to bury. Well, they weren't allowed to bury. The family wasn't allowed to bury their 78-year-old father for 2 or 3 days, or many days. And so finally, the police permitted them to bury the body on their own house plot. There was no graveyard or anything. Last Sunday, there was an attack on a pastor who was called to the police station and set up by the policeman, the police inspector of the station, brought in a bunch of anti-Christians, and they beat the pastor last Sunday right there in the police station. And unfortunately, it was on video for them. Unfortunately for them, it got in the news. And the Christian Forum complained to Delhi And the police inspector was suspended, and his boss was suspended. So that was one for our side. But the persecution continues around the world because that's where God is working. Persecution is an indication of where God is working. If you want to know where He's working, look for the persecution. Do we want to pray that it stops? Well, no. The Bible says to bless those who persecute you, bless them and not curse them. Often when a church is attacked in India, the police will detain the Christian victims. But then the Christians give their testimony with power and are released. When the violence occurred in Orissa and an adjacent state, there were 75 Christian martyrs. I have their names. And 7,500 families were burned out of their homes and churches. We used funds from your Southern Baptist Send Relief Organization. Remember the Rice Bowls? Same people. Baptist Global Response. They're now called Send Relief. We used those funds to provide substantial relief to the Christian families. And do you know what happened next? There was an explosion of church planting in the affected area. And even some of the persecutors came to faith. Bringing it all back to Park Place. Now, as part of a New Testament church full of believers with the power of the Holy Spirit to witness, the next question is where? It's in the verse. Jesus was standing at the Mount of Olives in sight of Jerusalem when he said these words. You're sitting right here on Kern Street listening to his words. Not in Jerusalem, but in Thomasville, which is your Jerusalem. So what ministries involve you in Thomasville? Where are you volunteering? Don't say you're too old. I'm 70. You're here because you have purpose. A lot of lost people in the medical profession. Are you witnessing to every doctor that needs it? My doctor's saved. My question is, are you involved in just mercy missions, or are you intentionally sharing the gospel as part of the ministries? Are you using the power of God in these ministries to witness? Is there intentional evangelism? It's good to do food boxes or feed the people at CCM, but are you witnessing when that takes place? Where are you witnessing as part of your ministry? You know, Jesus went, in Mark chapter 1, went around preaching the kingdom of God is at hand and repenting, and he was healing at the same time. We call it healing and preaching, okay? Ministry, helping, and evangelism. They go hand in hand. Most churches are pretty active in the local area, in their Jerusalems. But Jesus also said you will be his witnesses both in Judea and all in Samaria. Now, we are here and not there. So the obvious comparison is we're to be his witnesses beyond Thomasville, in our associational area, in our state, and in North America. What mission and ministries are you participating in these areas? We're too small or too old. Well, let me tell you, Park Place Church is one player on a football team. You don't have to do it all, and you don't have to do it alone. You can team up with other churches, go to Lumberton or Shelby. You can go do an associational mission. Yeah, I've been to prison many times, but it's not on my record. It's up there every time I've been on the inside. There's a prison ministry. Yeah, I don't know how that's doing in the association right now, but Every ministry that the association is doing is something we can participate in. Like any player on the football team, doing your work according to your calling in ministry and mission is supporting others doing theirs. It's a whole team effort. We're all members of one body, and every member is working. So don't be a sore thumb. Let's all work together, members of churches and churches themselves. And we do all this stuff at Christmas, right? That's the busiest time of the year. Yet there's things that come up, and we do that, shoeboxes, whatever it is, at Christmas. Ooh, 11 other months of the year. And there's more time in the other months than there is at Christmas. And now we come to the last part of Jesus' message in that verse, which I think makes a complete New Testament church. This is the part where I can say, give to Lottie Moon. Any time of the year, you don't have to wait for the Lottie Moon offering. It seems to me that the caliber of missionaries that we send each year gets better and better. Right now, I'm on a Zoom call with them about every 2 weeks, and it just amazes me. I don't think they would have taken me today. Like, I don't know. I don't know how I ever got in the first place. So, but there is no better run, no more prepared, no more focused organization for reaching the lost in hard places than your International Mission Board. But most churches I see are not anywhere close to the ends of the earth in their thinking. Giving should not be enough. The Embrace, right? That's great. I like that name. Does that mean you're embracing a people group? Is that what Embrace means? Change the name of WMU to Embrace, right? So that's what we use as a term for embracing a people group, by the way. That's good. Mission Mosaic, that's good also. We want world peace. We want to end starvation. We want to reach the lost and so forth. But we're not strategically praying. First, to reach the ends of the earth, there is a great effort involved. There are still 7,314 unreached people groups and 3,180 unengaged unreached people groups with no access to the gospel message. You know, they're in the most difficult places in the world to get to. Or maybe not. Maybe they're in High Point. Yes, they are in High Point. Write this down. Get your pencil and paper out and write this down. www.peoplegroups.info has a map of diaspora or scattered peoples from around the world living next to you here. They have where their mosques are, where their temples are, where all this stuff is. People groups are. Spend a little time register so that you can log in and see the real data of people groups living right here among us. So, the first order is to pray if you want to be strategic in your prayer. And this is where I want you to think strategically. Don't pray broadly. Find a people group, an area of the world, a language to pray for. Begin first with this. You need God's guidance to find whom to pray for. Ask God to lead you to your segment of the lost world or your portion of the lost world that you can just pray for continually. You have to do the research. What region of the world interest you? How easy or difficult is it to get to? Are there any diaspora right nearby in High Point or Winston-Salem or Greensboro or Charlotte? Could you learn a greeting in their language? Yes, you can. This is where Embrace can be busy finding a people group, an area, or a language for the church to focus its prayer on. Another resource is, write this down, www.peoplegroups.org. O-R-G is the first one is info, the second one is org. Org is all the people groups of the world and where they are and all about the different people groups. And it's kept up to date with our research. So you do this. And somehow you're just led to a specific people group that are, it's a 100-mile trek into the jungles of Papua New Guinea. Not likely any of us could go there. But the IMB has people everywhere. And a universal truth is they are always in need of ministry funds as a means of supporting their work. Now, Lottie Moon covers salary, benefits, children, education, mostly homeschooling, travel, rent. But that puts the missionary family on the ground somewhere and keeps them there. But the funds that are needed for ministry, like conducting a training for a bunch of pastors or sending an evangelist to an unreached area, whatever it is, they have that those funds come through a specific donation to projects. Keep writing. www.imb.org/give/projects. There you can do real, good, tangible effort to advance the gospel to an unreached, unengaged people group or village or language or place where an IMB missionary is already there working, who will be a good steward over your funds. The IMB, the relationship with that missionary becomes personal. Please consider giving to one of those projects. The IMB is your missionary organization, and there's no other more focused mission agency for reaching the lost everywhere. By the way, whenever there's trouble and instability in the world, is there any of that going on? Remember to pray for our missionaries there. Pray for the incipient churches in those locations, that their testimony will be bold. I was in a Zoom call with our people a couple weeks ago. They told the story of two women left behind in Afghanistan. This information came from the insurance agency for missionaries. I don't know which one it was. And by the way, don't ever set foot outside of the USA on a mission trip without insurance from Adams and Associates in Columbia, South Carolina, or somebody similar, specific missionary insurance. Why? A little known fact is that their insurance covers emergency evacuations, such as Afghanistan. Anyway, this is how they found out. Because it's not our IMB missionaries, by the way. These two women, two missionaries, were attempting to get to the airport in Kabul every day. The embassy was saying, keep trying to get there, keep trying to get there. And it got harder and harder. Then finally, one day, they were only allowed to go into one gate. There was a massive crowd there. There was fighting and people being trampled and all this kind of stuff. They got separated from each other. And the one who wrote this email to the insurance guy said that she just got inside the gate And she'd separated from her partner, missionary. And she got inside the gate, and this Marine on post jumped on her and took her to the ground, and then the explosion happened. And the Marine was killed. And she survived. She's writing this email. She was in total, you know, there's kind of like this blast effect that you have. That can kill you. But she somehow woke up in a house in Kabul of an Afghan family, and they got her back to her her office. And there she reunited with the other person who never got that far. So the second email was thanking God for that Marine who gave his life. Thanking God for the Afghans who kept pouring water on her face to keep her alert and not to fall asleep, because that kept her alive. Thanking God for the Afghans who gave her a little bit of food to eat, an apple, to keep her strength up. Thanking God for the family who got her to their home and sheltered her that night. Thanking God for them getting her in a taxi back to her office. So, anytime there is something like that going on, there are missionaries there. And they don't like to leave, by the way. Now, they were trying to leave and they couldn't. But often, they don't like to leave. So, also, I was just in the context of the Afghan church, I was watching an interview of the Voice of the Martyrs on a TBN show called The Watchman. Maybe you're familiar with it. He was saying that in Afghanistan, the first generation believers are getting out. They're absconding. They're below the underground, and they're finding people to get them out of the country. But the second generation and the third generation are staying. Now, what he meant by first generation is the ones who became believers due to a missionary's action. And then the second generation was those who became believers because of the preaching of the first generation. That's what second generation is. And then the third generation are the ones who became believers because of the testimony of the second generation. That's how we actually track generations in the planting of churches. So the first generation is known by the Taliban. The second generation and the third generation is not. They're staying. So we can say then the Afghan church will endure, because they will be, God will look after him like he does all his churches. Bringing this all back to Park Place, are you a New Testament church? Are you a church with the power of God to salvation? Are you not ashamed of the gospel? Are you a church with the power of the Holy Spirit to witness next door, or to your family, or to friends, or co-workers, or wherever? Are you witnessing with power in Thomasville, our county, our state, North America? Are you at least praying for a specific place or people at the ends of the earth? Have you thought of adopting a missionary for prayer? If every missionary had at least one church praying for them continually, that would be great. These are all questions I challenge you with and ask you to commit to prayer. Thank you.